This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
The winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year, Jordan Spieth.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, Open Championship Week on the Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, happy hump day, everybody. Yes, indeedy.
What is happening?
Got early bit of sleep, or early amount of sleep, I should say. A lot of sleep.
You
I got
went
a lot
to
of sleep.
Bed early and got a lot of sleep last night.
So did National League hitters. But
well, it started at 5:45 when I realized the baseball game was going to be one of the worst baseball games of my life. If you didn't have melatonin, you just turn on the MLB All-Star game, and it puts you right to bed.
You get the sound of the glove popping, an occasional back crack, a roar of the crowd, and next thing you know, I'm laying on the couch.
That game sucked.
What? Huh? What happened? Huh? The only two notable things from the All-Star game were two non-baseball related things that I thought were kind of cool. Did you see the intros?
No.
Okay, player intros I thought were kind of fun. They announced the starting lineup and they had them run out and they had like a little like a speaker thing, you know, like a podium, if you will.
Yeah.
And there was a Declaration of Independence, and they had them sign it with like a quilled pen as they ran onto the field.
Well, that was the lineup card.
It was a lineup card. Yeah,
they had but this, it was like, on big, like parchment, like when like they did
the Declaration of Independence.
Big
I thought
old
that was
feather
cool.
pen right there.
That was kind of funny.
That was kind of fun.
Watching every guy grab the pen and sign their autograph. Did you see the Ray Charles thing later in the game?
Did not.
Okay, that was the only cool thing that happened. But literally the only fun thing.
Ray Charles came back to life.
He was alive for a brief moment and sang America. The Beautiful.
America the Beautiful. He, huh?
They brought him back from the
is
dead.
Is it AI?
Dug him up.
Like
here
Tupac?
He is. Yes, Tupac holographed Ray Charles out in center field, 90 feet tall. It was crazy. No, I think it was. I think he did it the last time the All-Star game was in Philly, if I'm not wrong. Mm. And so they played the video of it, and it was like a four-minute break in the game to have like a sandlot scene for the fireworks where the kids ride their bikes. So kids rode their bikes onto the field. And the song is playing, and there was like legitimately a 5-minute fireworks show. That was the only cool part of the night. Literally the only notable thing for me.
So a couple of takeaways on this. One, on what you just noted there. I a couple of years ago, on my birthday, they had just come to town was the, what was the art exhibit? I'm blanking on the artist's name. Oh, my God. I just had it.
Was it Banksy?
No.
Was it the glass guy, Chihuly?
No, it was like painter.
Andy Warhol?
Cut his ear off. Oh, my God.
Van Gogh.
Yeah, who could forget?
God. I literally had it, and then as soon as I started talking, it just left my brain.
That happens quite often.
Yeah. So I went to this Van Gogh exhibit, and it was you're very immersed in the art. So, like, you see the paintings and what they look like. You read the descriptions.
He's got some pretty famous ones.
You read about his life. You walk into rooms, and, like, his paintings are now light. As you walk in, so you're like walking in and you're like through the paintings. It's a very interesting exhibit.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it. I think I would legitimately pay money to go to a performance if you told me you had Ray Charles, like AI Tupac.
AI hologram.
I think a Ray Charles concert, like an AI holograph.
Like if you put
Ray
together
concert,
at like the symphony.
At the Schnitz he's playing.
A hologram of Ray Charles at the piano and you played his music. I actually think I'd spend money on that ticket.
It's one of the ideas that might. Because the
would you go? I think I'd go to that.
I probably would.
Because I bet you it's great.
There's a number of artists that it's different if the artist was alive and you had the chance to see them or you already saw them.
Yeah.
And then they get brought back to life, but just based on when you were born,
right.
There are people that you never had the ability to see in concert. Like Frank Sinatra, maybe he did when I was 5 years old. I have no idea.
Right.
But he died when I was really young, relatively young, and you never had the chance to go see him. If you told me he's playing like a jazz house, AI, holograph Frank Sinatra, like an actual concert
like
show that he had.
Like you got actual art, like musicians behind playing the music.
Playing the piano and the guitar.
And you have
and
him
the,
just
yeah, trumpet.
Hologram.
And
he's like,
singing.
Let's go, baby.
And he's got
like
a cigarette in his mouth, and there's a little bit of smoke. Yeah, I would go. I would go to that show.
I hate to say that because I'm not a big, like, AI.
Right.
Like, Gene Wilder, I had this in the Magic Cat a couple weeks ago. Gene Wilder, I guess, they're just going to bring him back. They're doing a Wonka show
on
some stream platform.
Is it the Netflix reality show? Because they're doing like a game show that's through...
Maybe.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was a scripted show or reality show, but they had these people come in to basically be Willy Wonka, try out. And they went through this whole laundry list of actors,
they
and they
all
were all told,
suck.
Hey, thank you. We're going to AI Gene Wilder.
He's better than all of you.
And I don't know if I like this, the AIing of people who have passed that were performers. Like Star Wars did this with one of their Empire actors. He would came back, the Admiral, and I'm like, eh, it looked really fake. They did it with Princess Leia at the later end of the Star Wars because she had died.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Before they wrapped it up. And, you know... It makes
you can't
you
have a
way.
Different Princess Leia.
No, you cannot.
There's one Princess Leia.
No, you had to have her.
Yeah, and like all of a sudden it's a different actress.
It was very bizarre.
Nobody's buying this. Why does she look different?
It's like I'm not a fan of it, but I'm also telling you, if Ray Charles is on a piano smiling and moving and grooving.
Oh,
and...
beautiful.
Georgia. Yeah.
I'm feeling something. It's feeling good.
I think I'd want to see it, yeah.
What year did Ray Charles die?
2017
is your guess, swag.
It's going to be closer to when we started our show, isn't it? It's like 2015.
It was before that,
Ray Charles died in 2004.
Yeah,
2004.
I was close. Why I feel like I had him dying
in the right century, at least, you know,
or after we started our show?
I don't know. That's maybe that's when the movie came out. When did the movie come out?
It had to be. Around that time, because he helped make the movie.
Yes. Well, I know. Yeah, he was a part of the... Yeah, 2004 came out the year he died.
Oh, damn. That's like the Madden doc.
Right. Frank Sinatra died in 1998. So, like, you play that game? Yeah, I'm willing to do it. My one rule is as long as you get... And I'm sure that there's legal things that make you do these hoops every time you use an AI version or a hologram. Like, as long as the family's okay with it...
That's all I'm saying. Yeah, if they sign off on the revenue of it.
Like, we went through this for the entire basketball season. Did you guys find it weird that the voice guy for NBC's dead? They AI'd his voice the entire season.
I forgot about that.
The entire year?
I didn't think about it.
And
you didn't even really...
Because they didn't overdo it. It was just more at the
tonight,
start.
Tonight, it's the Blazers versus the Rockets.
Subtle,
like,
and
that was it.
It was fine.
Yeah. But it was an AI version
of that. And his family okayed it, right?
His family okayed it because he was the iconic voice of NBC basketball. I remember talking about it when they announced they were going to do it, and then we all kind of forgot that it happened. But they used his voice all year.
What was the review takeaway when they did hologram Tupac at Coachella? Because that was a little ahead of its time.
That was very ahead of its
time.
It was
like, holy crap, it really looks like he's
on
the stage.
And he was in it was during a show of Dre, right?
Yeah.
And Snoop, like everybody
was
out
Dre
there
that created
and Snoop,
it.
And they were all, and it was like, let's bring him out for his parts.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the reviews were. I'd imagine if I'm in the crowd, I'm probably going crazy.
It had to have been nuts if you could see the hologram.
Would you rather have them performing a song that's Tupac is included in with nobody singing his parts or a hologram version of Tupac singing his parts? And I think I lean hologram version of Tupac.
The hologram, I mean, when it looks real.
Yeah. You can get it done.
It's hard not to say, like, oh, I want to go the artist doing the original.
Yeah, it was, take 4 minutes at some point. It was cool. That was the only thing last night that was like, they stopped the game legitimately for 5 minutes for a fireworks show. And it was a play on the night in the Sandlot when they're all riding their bikes and you could play at night because there's fireworks in the sky.
Right.
And all I could
They should have played.
They did. They let them all drive right out onto the field. They all had gloves with them and they played catch with somebody on the field. And
oh, no, I'm saying they should have actually played
let them play a game
under fireworks. It would have been more interesting than the game.
Having the kids play might have been more interesting than the game. You might have had a couple of hits and a little bit of action at some point from the National League side of things.
Man.
All I could think about was watching those, like, where does that rank on a moment? I'm guessing these kids were anywhere from 9 to 12. They all looked like about that age.
I mean, it's the coolest thing of their
life
so far.
That would be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Riding your bike onto an all-star field to go park it at first base with Bryce Harper and hang out with him for a four-minute firework display. There was a great scene. Mizorowski was out there, the Brewers pitcher, and he was, like, showing his kid grips, and somebody had a great tweet. Was like, see, this is all you need. You just need fingers that are so long the ball looks like a golf ball in your hand, and you can throw it 104 miles an hour. Too. He's like showing him a two-seamer grip. That is an iconic moment in that kid's life. I dare to say the rest of their life's top five moment.
Well, so here's the thing.
No matter what else happens
That's
to
a
him.
Bold proclamation.
No matter what happens to him.
Because some of them I don't think will remember all the details of it.
Ooh, you don't think so? In the 10, 11
How
range?
How much of at 9 do you remember? You
Not
remember
a ton,
bits and pieces.
But if I did something like that, I feel like it would stick out to me.
When I was about 9 or 10, it was my first year playing organized basketball. I did a YMCA team.
Uh-huh.
and we got to go on the Blazer court at halftime.
Right.
And they like shouted out the YMCA, and then we popped balloons and whatever what was in the balloon, that was like your prize.
Sure.
So I got like some toy truck of a chocolate company or something. I kept it for a long time.
Ovaltine.
I remember grabbing the balloon. I remember looking at the court.
How old are we talking?
I was honestly 9 or 10 years old.
9 or 10 years old.
And I remember like being on the court and looking at all the people at halftime. I don't remember walking down there.
Really? Nothing else,
huh? The tunnel walk. Yeah, it was just like you're going to remember bits and pieces of it. You won't remember all of it. And then you'll also lie to yourself of like, I remember Bryce Harper pointed at me.
He's right there.
Like, you're just going to tell yourself this stuff happened because you were 9 years freaking old.
He told me I was going to be a big leaguer someday.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely what happens. Now, here's what I would add to this.
Yeah.
You made a point yesterday, and I think it's a good one, and I felt it in the moment. Ooh. So it was funny that you said it.
Okay.
Getting a birdie on your first hole when you're not a very good golfer, it's a good and bad thing. It's a good thing because it's like, dude, last time I was here, I doubled. And the time before that, I tripled.
Yeah.
And now I did it in less strokes than they say par.
I mean, let's be honest. Birdies are few and far between, right? You get one, you're happy with it. Just the first hole, it's setting you up for some big expectations.
Exactly. So I get a birdie, and I'm like instantly thinking, well, these guys I don't know now think I'm a slightly better golfer than I said I was. And now maybe I am a slightly better golfer than I say I am, but I know I'm not. And what happened on the next hole? I got a bogey.
Back to even par.
That's such a cool life moment. Did it happen too early in their lives?
Should it be given to older kids?
You just said it's
going to
be a top five moment of their life.
I mean, if you remember it, if that moment...
That's kind of crazy to say, is it not?
It's like that's
You're not going to live a life that has five better moments than that?
I mean, you could get married someday. All right, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
How many kids are you going to have? Okay. Are you having four kids?
Maybe.
Probably not, but if you do, then it's going to get kicked out of the list. A kid, there's two. What else you got? What else? Let me play this out.
Maybe you get your dream job.
Let me play this
Maybe
out.
Maybe the dream job takes you to different things and you accomplish. Maybe you make $1 million in a salary. I don't know.
If 9-year-old Brandon Sprague remembered that happened and you were one of you ride out your bike onto Turner Field in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you're playing catch with Chipper Jones at third base.
Yeah.
And the fireworks show is going off and they're doing the tomahawk chop. You're tomahawk chopping with them. You're feeling the vibes.
Yeah.
Where would that rank for you?
Right now, as life has been placed,
it's
on the outside of the five.
Outside of the top five?
Yeah.
How close, though?
It's hovering.
It's hovering.
It's there.
It's a bubble team.
I mention it.
It's there.
Yeah.
When you're doing your automatic 1, 2, 3, and then it's in the conversation.
It's in my top 10.
It, for sure.
It's absolutely in my top 10.
You kind of peaked.
And I'm going to be 40 in December.
Right. And you've had cool stuff happen to you in your life.
I've had some great stuff.
Some great accomplishments.
Yep.
Some lot of successes in life and work and family
doubt.
And all that.
No doubt.
It's still one of the coolest things
It's
ever.
In the top 10, to your point.
It's right there, man.
Yeah.
You peaked too soon. Yeah. Sorry, 10-year-olds. I hope you remember all of it. It's never going to get better than that.
I don't have a lot of all-star stuff on my show sheet. I don't know if you do.
That's all I got.
Well,
the quill. I thought the quill was cool and the Ray Charles video was cool.
Ask the question?
Yeah.
And I'm coming from a little bit of a bitter party of one standpoint here.
Mm.
When my all-star game sucks,
yeah.
We have to waste a lot of oxygen talking about why it sucks, how it sucks, how do we make it not suck. And I'm going through the laundry list of stuff. And my point during the NBA All-Star game is always like, you're not going to remember anyway.
No.
Nor did you really ever care. But now because the narrative has become a narrative, you care.
Right.
When you really don't.
Right.
I realized yesterday as they named What's-His-Nuts the MVP.
Who did win the MVP?
Bellinger.
Corey Bellinger.
Oh, okay.
Because
Cody
he
Bellinger,
hit in
sorry.
A couple Cody. Runs.
Okay.
They were thinking about giving it to a Vargas because he had a home run.
First, yeah.
The problem is the way that you have a different pitcher every inning. There's not one pitcher that goes
He's
like,
never going to do it. Whoever gets a hit or a home run usually wins the MVP.
Every pitcher got a strikeout, so how do you give it to one pitcher over?
I just realized that, like, I don't remember the last 5 All-Star games, really.
No.
Who was the MVP last year?
Couldn't tell you. For $1 million.
Baseball guy?
No idea.
No? Year before that?
No idea.
Okay. So, like, it's not that we haven't had good games. I'm sure we've had some close ones. The AL's won 8 of the last 10.
I feel like they've mostly been clunkers, if I'm not wrong.
Why do we do this to basketball? But we don't do it. Not that I even think baseball needs to be. They just play a game, and one side seems to be better in this game than the other, largely.
Right.
But that's one of the worst All-Star games I've ever had on my television in my lifetime.
It was pretty bad.
And I wasn't sitting there going, well, that's ridiculous. They need to fix this. I just was thinking, like, do you know how many bad NBA All-Star games happen and we all come in? This is why the league sucks. It's why I can't watch this product.
Well,
baseball happens. We're just like, man, let's eat a hot dog.
Dare I make the counter argument?
I'd love a counter argument.
So the counter argument I would have, one, you're not wrong. The baseball game, All-Star game, was incredibly boring last night. There's not a lot of memorable moments from the last however many years, right? I can't tell you anything that's happened in an MLB All-Star game in the last 5 years. I got nothing for you. The counter argument would be, one, the NBA partially does this to themselves because they constantly change the format, which leads to a conversation. Will this save the All-Star game? Is this the format we like? Do we need an Elam ending? Do we need an international team? Like, they make it into, instead of just saying, hey guys, go score 190 points, nobody ever plays defense,
but that was what led the changes. It was that they almost got into the 200s if they didn't get into the 200s.
They didn't need to change anything. You don't have to. You bowed to public pressure from social media that then leads to a natural conversation. Your larger point is right. It's an All-Star game. Who cares? The difference in the sucking of the All-Star game is only, it's slightly different because the debate in the NBA is about what? It's about players not caring or playing hard. And I don't think that's the, I don't think it's like the National League hitters weren't taking the night off. It's just really hard to hit the best pitcher from every team. And usually offense is not going to be successful on a night like that. It's not about like, hey, we weren't trying to get hits, and that's kind of the argument of the MLB All-Star game, but your larger point is right. Most All-Star games suck.
They're not that good. The NFL doesn't even really do it anymore. It's a flag football game.
Baseball's the only one that I watch just because of the time of the calendar it falls
on. It's
great
to have it on in my garage.
There's interviews with the players, and there's fireworks, and it's like, whatever. It's on in the background. I know that the game's not going to be that competitive, but whatever. You have it on because it's the middle of July. I don't have that need for an MLB All-Star game because it's on the heels of the Super Bowl and all this other stuff's going on, and it's like, I've been in a sports zone for months now. I don't need something right now, but the All-Star game kind of fills a hole a little bit on a Tuesday night. Larger point, though, is right. We don't remember much from the MLB All-Star game for a long time.
So your last, your previous MVPs in 2016, Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer, who could forget?
2017, how about this one for Mariner fans? Robbie Cano.
Robbie Cano, don't you know?
I don't remember that at all.
Not at all. Maybe Mariner fan would. I remember giant moments in All-Star games.
2018, Alex Bregman.
Okay. Take your word for it.
2019, here we go. Shane Bieber.
It's a stud. We actually had a pitcher, huh?
Did he pitch for like two innings?
They must have let him go for two innings.
They must let him go for
two. And he struck out all six or something, and they gave him the MVP.
2021, Vladdy Jr.
Vladdy.
2022, Mike, formerly known as Mike, Giancarlo Stanton.
Ooh.
2023, oh my God. You could give me a year to come up with the 2023 winner, and I couldn't guess it. I'll give you a clue. He was or is in your division. And he doesn't play for either of your teams.
Ketel Marte.
Nope.
Okay. Paul Goldschmidt?
No.
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 Is there a Rocky? Is there a Padre?
It's a Rocky.
It's a Rocky.
I'll tell you that. It's a
Charlie
Rocky.
Blackman?
Oh. Nope.
Dang it.
Was it Aaron? No, it wasn't Arenado.
He would have been in St. Louis at that point.
Not the MVP.
No, he was in St. Louis at that point. He's a Colorado Rocky.
I don't even know if he is still a Rocky. I don't know who he is.
The Rockies are so irrelevant. I think I can only name five Rocky players off the top of my head.
This is kind of proving my point. Yeah. The 2023 All-Star game must have been terrible because Elias Diaz. Where's he at right now? Is he a Rocky?
That's a great question. Let me Google it.
I just find it interesting how like out of baseball we all are, but we don't complain about it. But we are out on NBA, and we just constantly bitch about it.
He's hitting .267 for the Rangers, four home runs this year. That's where he's now 35 years old. Holy hell, he was a late bloomer to win an All-Star Game MVP.
Jaron Duren in 2024.
Okay.
And last year's MVP.
Must have closed it out.
I don't know if he played because when I saw him, he wasn't playing. He was just watching.
Kyle Schwarber, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, the other takeaway for me from last night is, not that this is a new takeaway, this has kind of been the case for a while.
Sure.
It's funny to think back, because social media will do this, they'll show you the videos of like, here's the 1997 starting lineups for the National League and the American League.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to look back at the starting lineups and remember, like, God, I knew all these guys. I knew who they played for. I knew everything about them. And then I'm watching the game last night, and I enjoy the All-Star game. It, you know, whatever. It's a Tuesday night. There's nothing else going on in the middle of July. The other takeaway was how I don't know any of these cats, man. Like, they're interviewing
half that
guys.
Team, I didn't know.
There's like, guys coming up to plate, and I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. I'm sure he's good. They show a stat line. It's like, okay, that's a pretty good stat line. He plays for the Detroit Tigers, but I did. You know, I'm not watching a lot of Tiger baseball. So that's the other sad part of just the older I've gotten. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because my baseball team hasn't won a playoff series in 11, 12 years now. So maybe that's part of the reason I'm so unplugged from the national aspect of the sport. But there was a point in time going back that we would be able to name almost everybody in the starting lineup. And now it's like, yeah, I've heard about five of these guys, and that's kind of all I got.
Yeah, tough one last night for MLB. The All-Star game, a big dud. What was it, 15 Ks in total the NL had?
Yes.
Sounds about right, yeah.
AL
and three
dominated.
Of the, was it 4-0 the final, and three of the four runs were scored
in the
first,
top of the first.
Yeah, yeah, it happened early.
I mean, that's not bad, actually, because it's probably your
RBI singles.
Probably your highest rating metric of like, hey, let's check out the All-Star game. It's on. At least you got some fireworks early, and then nothing happened.
Well, we got a hump day edition, stat or story, loaded show today, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going on this Wednesday edition on 105.1 The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. 628, Portland sports leader, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Hello. Get to our Cafe de Dirt and Sprague coming up at 7 a.m. Not so great of audio to bring you in the second hour of the radio program involving the city of Portland.
You know what it is?
Not good.
Wasn't very good, no. Doesn't seem to be very good right now.
Whoa.
According to OPB. So we'll get to that coming up in the second hour of the radio program. Got a little NFL for you, a little early 6:30 a.m. NFL. You ready?
I'm ready. I can't wait, man. I'm so excited for football season.
Dude, me too.
I'm jonesing for it.
I was walking down Fred Meyer yesterday looking for my family, and I saw a magazine. I'm like, oh, preview magazines.
Did we get the Athlon?
I didn't get
Steele?
It. No.
Did you get the NFL one?
I might buy Athlon. I might buy the Phil Steele one. We have Phil Steele, by the way, confirmed for Friday at 7:30.
Get our full-on preview with old Phil.
We haven't talked to Phil in a couple years. He's going to be back on the radio program diving into college football on Friday. But no, the NFL lists come out, and this one, I always love these lists. These lists get people hot and bothered. I got something on the list. I don't know if I'll get to it today or if Dirt will get to it, but I got audio on one of the lists. But the one that I'm talking about right now is the top 10 wide receivers.
Yes! Top 10 quarterbacks we yell about. Wide receivers, not quite the same.
But I feel like we kind of get there with
receivers.
We still
yell. It's not quite the same level as quarterbacks, but I love yelling about wide receivers.
ESPN, this is Jeremy Fallon that dives into this. Execs, coaches, and scouts rank the top 10 players at 11 different positions, and today it's wide receivers. Before you look at the list, if the list is not
I have not seen the list yet.
Great. Let me unveil it to you, okay?
I would love for an unveiling.
I want to ask you.
Yes.
You have gutted a team.
Okay.
Now, let me add a stipulation. Don't care about money.
Don't care about money.
You're an expansion franchise, so you got to fill your holes with salary cap space anyway.
Yes. Money does not matter. I'm filthy rich. I'm starting from scratch.
Who is Andy Dirt Johnson's wide receiver one?
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson is your best receiver?
He would be my number one pick, yes.
Yeah.
Splitting hairs, it's a 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D.
Who's your 1B? Who's your 1C? Who's your 1D? Let's see if you get your top four according to the execs, coaches, and scouts.
After the last 2 years, I think I would go JSN 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was so good last year,
Offensive player of the year.
I would go JSN 2. Mm-hmm. I like a little trouble in my wide receivers, not a ton of trouble.
You like a little diva quality?
A little bit.
You gotta
have a little bit of offness.
Now,
some of it's
acceptable.
Find me a wide receiver sans Jerry Rice or Larry Fitzgerald that didn't have that.
What's Justin Jefferson done, I would ask?
That's actually a fair point. He's not done much.
He's a good one.
His quarterback sucked butt last year, too, and you didn't really... I mean, maybe he did complain and we just don't follow the Vikings that closely, but I don't remember that being a story. I think I'd go Ja'Marr Chase 3, Puka Nacua 4.
You're dabbling in some potential, what's going on there?
5. Who am I forgetting? St. Brown, maybe? 5? Is that too soon for St. Brown?
St. Brown.
I'm on St. Brown. I'm
on Jalen
Waddle,
huh?
No Jalen Waddle yet. Do you pay him? I don't know. Who else am I missing as I'm trying to rack my brain?
CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb, yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, didn't George Pickens have better numbers than him last year in Dallas?
Yeah, well,
technically speaking. I know he's on the tag and not on the full extension yet.
So those largely your
That's
top
my top
four,
five. There's my five. Okay. I'm going to go St. Brown 5 and wrap it up right there.
Well, number one, according to everybody in the NFL that was polled on this, number one is Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase number one, okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It says 70% of the first place. He got 70% of the first place votes.
That's a lot of first place votes.
He finished third in catches and fourth in receiving yards last season. One NFL head coach said he's the best I've gone against. He can break it for 80 at any given moment. He has 6,837 receiving yards, the second most by any player within his first five seasons in NFL history.
Yeah.
He's trailing only his former teammate, who is number two, Justin Jefferson. Last year, he was
number
two. He's been number two. He historic six-year career. Let's see.
Him having over 1,000 yards last year should be like a Hall of Fame achievement.
70% of his votes were either for number one or number two.
Yeah.
One AFC exec says, I go by who I'd want on my team in a game or a season, and I still think he's super talented. He's a proven commodity that can do anything and everything you need and can adapt to any defensive look. He's got 8,480 receiving yards, the most for any player in their first six seasons in NFL history. His six straight 1,000-yard campaigns ties Randy Moss for second in franchise history. Chris Carter is first with eight.
He had eight in a row, really, to start his career. That's remarkable. Yeah, the thing, we do this a lot with quarterbacks, and I like making sure we do it with other positions as well. Jamar Chase is an unbelievable player. If you put him next to Jefferson, you probably can't tell that big of a difference. A deal breaker for me is in their careers, what quarterbacks have they played for? Now, I know we debated the Burrow thing. He hasn't been healthy and available for two of the last 3 years. Like, this guy had J.J. McCarthy throwing to him last year.
I didn't want to say
only two touchdowns and barely 1,000 yards, so the numbers don't jump off the page. He didn't have a functioning quarterback for the entire season.
I've been on this for a couple. He is my number one. Yeah. And look, you're right. We are differing over the slim,
they're both
the
incredibly talented and number one wide receivers.
I think JSN's deserving of being in this conversation. If you want to put Puka in it, his production, it's hard to argue against it.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good comp. Chase and Jefferson is like debating Bijan and Gibbs at running back.
Yes. Which one's better?
Maybe one has a better big play ability,
right,
and they lean Jefferson with that. It'd be fun to see him with a quarterback like Joe Burrow for Justin Jefferson. Number three is JSN of the Seattle Seahawks. He is number three on the top 10 wide receivers list.
I got my top three right, at least, just in the wrong order.
One NFL coordinator said, quote, he reminds me so much of Cooper Kupp's tremendous performance in 2021, only JSN is better on the outside than him. Love his game, relentless, smooth, competitor. He's not the elite outside player the top guys are, but he's close.
Yeah.
One common refrain from voters when game planning, Smith and Jigba doesn't strike fear in coaches like some others do, but he lined out wide on more than 80% of his snaps last season, producing a league-high 10.9 yards per target. I'll tell you, as somebody that roots against JSN,
I just chuckle at that. So what does that mean? He doesn't strike fear to you? His 1,800 yards and 10 TDs last year?
I don't really know what that means.
What are you not scared of?
All I can tell you is as an NFL viewer and somebody that's actively rooting for his team not to win, every time my team go against him, when he gets a catch, it feels like he has 8 yards of separation, and it's a 12-yard catch. And I'm like, damn it, dude. Can we defend this guy?
Every time they throw a deep ball to him, you have that dread of like, yep, he got to catch that. He got to make that play.
How about this one? This is from an AFC exec. Mm. Smith and Jigba is super talented, but this is the first year he really played outside. If he does it again and plays well, he can jump to the top. We're doing a prove it? We have a prove it quote in a top three wide receiver?
I just look at the quarterback position
suck now?
The wide receiver position and quarterback position are very different. I'm there on the quarterback stat line. Like, you were good for a year. I need to see you go back it up because defenses will adjust. Maybe it's just the size thing. Like, if you compare him and Jefferson and Chase, he's a little bit on the smaller side, I believe. Isn't he just barely over 6 foot, I think? So maybe that's part of the reason you're holding him back or not as scared about him. He's not as physically intimidating as some of the other guys. But, like, did we watch football last year? I don't need to see any more.
He's listed at 6'1".
6'1". So yeah. I don't know what Chase
I think is 6'3". And I think Jefferson's 6'3 or 6'4".
Yeah, just a hair bigger. So there's that difference. But he's also shown the ability to make so many different kinds of catches and be so explosive on the outside that Are you going to all of a sudden figure out how to keep him from going around you on the outside
next
year?
Dude, he's such a good route runner.
It's not a schematics thing. Like, you're not going to figure it out. He's a stud. That stuff makes me chuckle.
I love the anonymous quote. You can say anything you want, yes, and nobody will ever be able to tie it to you.
Yeah, he's not that scary. He only had 1,800 yards and 10 touchdowns last year.
We
not intimidated.
One touchdown and 106 yards. Doesn't seem that hard.
Right.
Puka Nacua comes in at number four.
Yeah.
85% of the votes for him were within the top five. He led the NFL with 129 catches in 2025. That's the second most in Rams history. Nacua's eight career games with at least 150 receiving yards tie an NFL record with Justin Jefferson for the most by a player in his first three seasons. Strong hands, yeah, contact, balance, ability to block in the run game, run after the catch, run through the catch, can go get it, can play any spot, according to an NFL coordinator who also added complete receiver. Him and Chase are the hardest to tackle. I do think he comes in underrated despite being in the top four.
Yes, because of his troubles off the field. Is that why?
No, I think it's...
he's been a bit problematic.
Well, when you went into the draft, who are the three... I mean, when you look right at this list, the top three names all came into the draft.
First round picks are bona fide top 10, top
buzz,
five. Yeah.
Right? Like Chase and Jefferson, we watched do it at LSU. And then we debated which one's better. And we're like, it doesn't matter. They won the title.
Right.
And then when JSN came out after having that big Rose Bowl, we were all like, well, this dude is different. Puka Nacua, how much was he talked about in the draft?
Not very much at all.
And then you had Cooper Kupp already there, who was, I think, under the radar for himself because right, he's a smaller white guy doing it.
Very similar, later round pick, came out of nowhere, Eastern Washington.
And I think because he flew under the radar, even though his numbers are great, and I think real NFL football fans would all agree, like, dude, yeah, he's in the conversation. I still think he's somehow underrated.
Yeah, the only reason I held him back just a little bit is because you asked me the question of starting a franchise and, biting people and doing anti-Semitic dances. Not my cup of tea for a wide receiver, but there's no debating his talent. I'll never forget the game, we've talked about it a million times, a two-point conversion game where they lost 38-37.
Yeah.
He dominated that, and he was the best player on the field, I thought, that entire game.
Mm-hmm.
He had 12 catches for 225 yards and two TDs in the biggest game of their season with the division on the line. It's not his fault the defense gave up 38 points. It felt like Stafford on every play. He had 29 completions, 12 of them went to Puka. He targeted him 16 times, like every play he was throwing to him, and every time he was making a play.
Amon-Ra St. Brown rounds out the top five.
Hey, look at that!
Six is CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
Sevens is Pickens.
Yeah.
So you got teammates there.
It's an interesting situation. Him and Nacua are both in interesting spots because Nacua, I believe, has not gotten the extension yet, right? They're waiting on that.
No, I think they're going to, if he
see if he can stay clean for a year and not get in trouble,
he'll get it.
And Pickens is on the franchise tag, and so he's got a chance to get a nice little payday next offseason.
Number eight was Nico Collins.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I'd say, like, you need to, yeah. I think Nico is really good. I just sometimes, like, how much can you trust he's going to be out there?
Totally fair.
Is what I would worry about.
To make the quarterback comp, I feel like we got five or six that we all kind of agree on are at the top and that kind of swimming by themselves. And then you go, like, 7 through 17. And I feel like a lot of these guys could be interchangeable based on the offense, the quarterback, health, all that.
A.J. Brown, 9. And yeah, rounding out the top 10, a little surprising for me, to be honest with you, Davante Adams.
Still in the top 10, huh?
I mean, he had a great year last
year.
I whiffed on that. I was like, what's he going to be? And he was really good for them. I don't know if he's in my top 10.
I don't know if he is for me either, but sometimes the numbers are good. This goes back to the offense you're playing in, right? Like, Puka's on the other side of the field taking up a ton of attention. You have a brilliant offensive mind at head coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, that's a pretty good thing to work with. He delivered. I don't know if I'd take him 10th right now, but the numbers were solid.
DK Metcalf, by the way, also got some receiving votes, but not in the list.
Okay, yeah.
There you go. Top 10 NFL wide receiver list is out, and the top five are basically exactly what you'd guess. The order, I think, is a subjective thing. I want to transition to some college football. I got a college football thing I want to get to, and then we'll get to the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague coming up at the top of the hour. We'll dive into the troubling audio from one Adam Silver on the situation here in Portland in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague coming up at 7 a.m. Not such great news for, I think, Portland yesterday. Should we be on alert?
Shocking. Bad things are happening to us again, huh? Cool.
I got into a little bit of a text debate with a friend about the economy and how it feels in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't have disagreed more.
He thought things are all sunshine and rainbows.
He basically thinks it's amazing.
Things are going great. What are you talking about?
I love living here too, man. It's my city, but what are we doing?
Talk to somebody who owns a business. they might feel a little bit differently.
Okay.
Just pass the funding, please.
Did you see that Taco Bell became the driving factor for this cyclosporalysis diarrhea medicine bug thing?
Yeah, I was chastised for this yesterday. I thought it was coming from Taco Bell. I thought it was a restaurant where it originated. Well, my retort to this is, are we not supposed to get explosive diarrhea when we eat Taco Bell?
Yeah, that was kind of the takeaway most people had is like, wait, so business as usual from eating Taco Bell?
So is that, do people eat it and not sit on the toilet for an hour?
I don't know, man. We got to name
it's
things.
Taco Bell.
Can we lean on naming stuff based on the impact it has? Like if I just told you this cyclosporiasis or whatever it is.
Right.
You'd be like, oh my God, am I going to die?
Yeah.
But if I told you bad guts for 24 hours, you'd go, okay.
All right. That's a bug. I can deal with that.
I can deal with that.
I can live with that.
I think we need to name it based on the level of severity.
Much more manageable.
So we can like manage our mental expectations of, am I scrubbing my broccoli with a toothbrush?
Right. Well, even that I've read won't even
it
help.
It doesn't help.
Because it's like
yeah.
a sticky thing, and you even washing your fruit or vegetables won't do anything
about
it.
Yeah, if you get it, you're going to get it.
You're going to get it.
No avoiding it.
And look, I don't want to be the one that poo-poos this. Maybe it's all the stomach issues I've had in my life. Like, I'll be all right.
Okay.
How explosive are we talking? How often are we talking? Is it like, can I literally not leave the house for 24 hours? Is it like, ooh, you just got to make sure you're around a toilet at all times because it might strike? There's different levels of diarrhea.
Is it like every half hour, 45 minutes?
Yes. Or is it?
I can't function.
Right.
Or is it, okay, once or twice?
Ooh, might be an emergency. I got to go now, but then it's over and I won't have it again for eight more hours. That sounds like a normal Wednesday for me. So I you know, bring it on, dude. I'll take this stuff on.
Like we can't just rename it urgent dumping.
Yeah.
That way I have an idea going in. Like if I catch this, I know what to expect.
I want like an estimated time of arrival of diarrhea too. Okay. That's a big difference. Two diarrheas in a day, not that big of a deal. A diarrhea every hour for the day is a very big deal.
I'm with you there.
And will affect your life completely, and you will not be able to do anything. Those are very different things.
I just don't want to get anything.
I mean,
like
I get it.
Anything.
Yeah.
And so when this pops, I'm like, great. Do I got to worry about this, or is this just standard procedure? Eat some food.
Yeah.
Make your stomach turn. It's like if I eat Brussels sprouts.
Right.
I can't eat Brussels sprouts anymore.
You got an upset tummy now, man.
Within 2 minutes, it's like, whoa, we're out of the system, and it's like, what?
And that's the interesting part about this. If I cook the veggies, does it get off?
I don't think so.
So it still it survives the cooking?
I haven't seen anything
that says
it.
No, I think if you cook it.
If you cook, like if I'm eating cold vegetables, I get that.
Rasta,
but like if I get broccoli and cook it.
Yeah, put it in boiling water for a while.
So avoid uncooked tomatoes and lettuce?
I guess, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not doing it. I'm not living my life in fear anymore, man.
Mask up.
Bring it on, diarrhea. Hell no, we won't go.
Might need to mask up if it's bad.
That's true, yeah.
Speaking of diarrhea, how about the ACC's tiebreaker procedure?
That's a hell of a
Oh, they're simplifying it after last year's mess?
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear this.
Has stepped to the podium in Charlotte to kick off ACC Media Day. So we'll get to that today and tomorrow. And
yeah, next 3 days is ACC time.
So Jim Phillips has laid out here. Are you ready for the tiebreaker procedure on three guiding principles, according to the ACC now? Because last year, remember, they had like a five-way tie-up.
Yeah,
it was a five-way tie for second. And also, the first-place team played an ACC game that was counted as an out-of-conference game, and they lost it.
And the ACC title game winner was 8-5.
Yes.
And so they weren't going to send that team to the playoffs or give them the ability. So they named the fourth place team the ACC representative for the playoff, who ended up getting the national championship game.
Yes, they did. The Miami Hurricanes.
Here are the three guiding principles for the ACC in their upcoming college football tie-breaking scenarios.
Okay.
Head-to-head results.
Of course.
Yeah.
Number one. Has to count on the field.
There we go.
Let's say there is no head-to-head. Because we have 80 teams in every conference
now.
There's 27 teams in the ACC, and they don't all play each other.
No team will be overly rewarded or penalized based on the number of conference games it played.
What does that mean?
So are they? So is not everybody playing the same amount of conference games this season?
I read this four times, and I was very confused.
Does everybody?
Let me read it one more time.
Yeah.
No team will be overly rewarded or penalized based on the number of conference games it played.
No, not every team plays nine conference games.
Okay.
There are five teams who will play eight conference games during a transition year because they already had a non-conference Power Four opponent on their calendar. Boston College, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and North Carolina this season will play five conference games. The other 12 teams in the ACC.
Jim Phillips running.
The other 12 teams will play nine. So there is your answer. You will not be punished nor rewarded for the number of conference games you played.
There are three college degrees on this radio station right now, and none of us understand this.
I just love pointing out the fact that Virginia was it NC State? Virginia lost to a conference team
and
last year.
Count.
And they didn't count it.
Yeah, I don't get
they
it.
They counted it as a non-conference game.
Well, I'm assuming some of those schools play Notre Dame as part of the five.
So
Notre
that's
Dame.
How you skip the
Well, they're saying that
game?
They had Power Four opponents that they evidently couldn't get off their calendars.
That tells me, I think a bunch of those teams play Notre Dame.
Boston College does. Clemson might this year.
Clemson has.
They have in the past.
Because Notre Dame still has the deal to play five ACC opponents during their
Well, then that would explain it. And here's the final tie-breaking, the guiding principles of the ACC tiebreaker metric. When head-to-head competition cannot separate tied teams, the team with the strongest overall body of work will earn the opportunity to compete for the ACC championship and the conference's automatic qualifier to the CFP.
You know what that means? The highest ranked team.
So it's up to Jim Phillips.
The team we want the most in the playoffs.
Whoever's the highest ranked team will get this one.
Last year it was Miami. If it happens again, it will be Miami.
I'm sorry. That's the way it should work. Yeah. I mean, crying your tears.
I'm sure he got no follow-up questions at that point.
Yeah, Duke standing up like, this is unfair to us. And they're just saying, we don't care, Duke. We don't care. Go win at basketball.
Suck it, Manny Diaz.
By the way, of the teams playing Notre Dame this year, Boston College does play them. North Carolina does play them. Those are the only two of the five that play Notre Dame this year.
So other teams,
Clemson, Florida State, Georgia Tech have another power non-conference game that they evidently couldn't get
Georgia
out of.
Well, Georgia Tech plays Georgia. That's an annual rivalry. Yep.
But that's always on your book, so that wouldn't be – that's always the last game of the year. Florida State does the same with Florida. That's hilarious that not everybody in your conference is playing the same number of conference games.
What a weird conference. We'll have more on the ACC Media Days. It's just kicking off now. We have a loaded second hour. Kick it off with Cafe de Dirt and Sprague and not-so-good news for the city of Portland. Hour two on The Fan.